Well, what I want to finish our study on bridging the chasm, and I've preached on this before. It kind of feels almost redundant to me, but it's always good to go back to it. And so what we're going to look at is in Matthew chapter 16, just two verses. A little bit of background to it. Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And the disciples said, "Well, some people say you're this, some people say you're that, you know, Elijah or Moses." He says, "Well, who do you say I am?" And that's where Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of God. You're the Messiah. You're the one that was chosen and promised to save us." And Jesus praises Simon and says, "You're going to be named Peter. On this rock, I'm going to build my church." And then immediately after this, he tells them and he begins to show them how he has to go down to Jerusalem. And when he goes to Jerusalem in verses 21, or just in verse 21, he says he'll suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and he's going to be killed, but on the third day he'll be raised again. And Peter, who had just proclaimed, "You're the Messiah, you're the chosen one," Peter rebukes Jesus and says, "Forbid it. God forbid that you do these things." And that's where Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan. Your mind is on the things of the earth, not on the things of God." And immediately after that, Jesus says, in verse 24, "Then Jesus told his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it.'" What Jesus is saying here is tied up in his own mission. We can't look at these words in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, without remembering what Jesus is doing. He is going to Jerusalem. He is going to suffer many things. He is going to the cross. He says, if anybody wants to be to come after me, what he says there, to come after me, to follow me, is what he's saying. If you're going to follow me, go in my life, really what he's saying is, if you want to be my disciple. Now remember, these are men he's called to be his disciples. He says, anybody who wants to come after me, anybody who's going to be my disciple, he needs to do the things I'm doing as a disciple, as the Messiah. He needs to, as disciples of Jesus, we do exactly what he's doing. He's going to Jerusalem. We deny ourselves. He's denied himself. He put aside all of his glory in heaven and came down and became a man. He denied himself, his desires, his own comfort. He calls us to take up our crosses. Jesus took up his cross. He went to the cross. He died for our sins. And then finally, he says, you got to walk with me. He says, if you're going to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Follow me there. And this is kind of interesting, because the come after me means to follow. And so it almost sounds redundant, right? Well, we got to follow Jesus. No, what he means is walk with him. The first one is as if to say, if you're going to come after me, I walked through here, now you're going to come after. So for instance, my dad went to the Air Force Academy in 1962. He graduated in 1966. Sometime, 2005? My younger brother went to the Air Force Academy. You could say he went after my father, even though there was this long time of decades between the two of them. He followed in my father's footsteps. So that's what he's talking about. If we're going to follow him, if we are going to live like he did, not walking immediately, but going the way he did, if we're going to be his disciple, one of the things after we deny ourselves and take up a cross is to just walk with him, to follow along, to be with him. That's the great thing about Jesus is, When you go after him, you can actually walk with him as well. But that's what's required if we're going to be his disciples. If we are truly going to follow him, we've got to go with him. And you can't be his disciple without doing these things. And so there was the first one he says there, we are to deny ourselves. Disciples deny themselves. And if we hear what we do is what he tells us in verse 24 is lived out in verse 25. let us deny ourselves. He says in verse 25, whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So if we hold on to our lives as they are, we can't follow Jesus. I mean, maybe that goes without saying, but if you hold on to your life, you lose it. If you hold on to your life, well, you can hold on to that life, but you're going to lose real life. Anybody who tries to, and the word there for save is the exact same word that Jesus and the gospel writers use for salvation. What Jesus does for us to preserve our lives. So Jesus is in essence saying, if a person tries to save their own life, self-salvation. We have self-righteousness. You could talk about self-salvation. If you want to save your own life through yourself, you're going to lose it. We don't have the capacity to save ourselves. Whether we're talking about saving ourselves to God's righteousness or saving ourselves and I'm going to live my life my way and I'm going to hold on and I'm going to do what I need to make sure my life goes right. The longer we hold on to our own, the more we lose it. We try to save our own lives, but instead what we do is we destroy it. To lose our life means to destroy it, for it to perish. It's not just, oh, where did I put my life? I know it's around here somewhere. No, it perishes. And if you try to save it, you're going to destroy it. So we have to deny ourselves. Our attempts to preserve our lives are the very source of our destruction. So the first thing we have to do is to not try to save ourselves, but instead to turn to Jesus. The second part is to take up our cross. When you deny yourself, you're no longer trying to save your own life. Now you're following Jesus. Jesus went to the cross, so we're called to go to the cross as well, to suffer, to take up the burden of following in His footsteps. When we give up our lives, like Jesus went to the cross, He gave up His life, it can seem like you're losing. But He says this is the only way we actually live. When you give up your life, when you release it, really, the word is the same. Whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life. So what He's really saying is, and there's actually a change in the grammar in Greek. The first one, you'll lose it, it happens to you, and it's in the future, but it's something that happens to you. In this one, it's something that the person does themselves, and it's in the present. Whoever destroys their life is the idea. If you will willingly allow your life to perish, in doing that, for Jesus' sake, you find it. So we take our lives, and we let them go, and we let them perish, and in that we find life in Jesus. And in finding life in Jesus, we actually save our lives. And we actually find true life. We live out life. And so we see this in conversion. Think about when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Before that, you were living for yourself. Anybody today who is not following Jesus Christ is living for their own reign, their own rule. And they might do many things to try to save it. And we live for ourselves and we're trying to hold on to it and all the time we're perishing. But then when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior or whatever you want to call it, coming to faith, placing your faith in Him, repentance, all of that, what is that? That's saying I used to rule my life, but I know I can't, and so I turn away from that and I start saying I'm going to follow Jesus. And you can't have two kings on the throne. One has got to go. And so we put ourselves off the throne. We allow Jesus on the throne. And we bow down to Him. We relinquish our lives. And in so doing, we find life. And we're saved. This happens in everybody's life. It's the thing we are calling people to do. If somebody doesn't know Jesus, we are calling on them to stop ruling their own life and to let Jesus rule their life. That's what we're doing. There's a really powerful example of this in the lives of the Jewish people in Jesus' time. You think about the rulers, the synagogue leaders, the Sanhedrin, the high priest. What was their major problem with Jesus? They didn't like what He was saying. Think of it. Think of this. They are the leaders of the Jewish religion, and here comes a person who says that they are doing things wrong, and they need to start doing things his way. They need to listen to him. They need to believe in him, and they need to follow him. And what does Jesus represent throughout the Gospels and then even especially in Acts? To follow him is to not follow the ways of Moses. He completed the ways of Moses. He completed the Old Testament. He perfected it in and of himself. And now we're supposed to follow him. So now Paul doesn't have to worry about worshiping on the Sabbath. He doesn't have to worry about keeping the Passover. All these things that they used to do. You don't need to go to the temple for sacrifices. Jesus ended it all. But you have the Jewish leaders, they don't want it to end. They don't like Jesus. In fact, they're kind of happy in their power. They like their power. They like their religion the way it is, and they don't want to lose anything. So they seek to keep it and even go so far in the Gospel of John. Caiaphas, the high priest, prophecies. It's one of the greatest little passages there. They're all talking about this problem of Jesus. If it was a musical, it'd be, you know, how do you solve a problem like Jesus? And Caiaphas says, look, you guys don't understand. You don't see that it is better for one man to die for the nation than for the whole nation to perish. Now, in saying that, he didn't recognize that, you know, John writing about this later on says, Caiaphas prophesied because he was the high priest. He just didn't know what he was saying. It is better for one man to die than for the whole nation to perish. Jesus does die for us, and because of his death, we have salvation through him. We can live. But Caiaphas, what he meant was, we got to bump this guy off. We got to get rid of him so that we can keep going. We need things to be good and calm and peaceful with the Romans, so let's get rid of Jesus. And so they killed Jesus. They killed Jesus to save themselves. And in so doing, maybe they lived for a period of time, but they cut themselves out of eternal life. They cut themselves out of the life Jesus offered them. In trying to save themselves, in trying to save their lives, they brought about the destruction of their lives. Not only that, within 40 years, the temple was destroyed. The sacrifices were destroyed. Consider this. There is not a Jewish person today who is keeping the law. They are incapable of keeping the law because they cannot perform sacrifices. Their religion is tied up with the sacrifices at the altar, with the priests offering it upon the altar for them. Think about throughout Leviticus, how many things are required to have a sacrifice, even celebrations and feast days. You know, the Day of Atonement. They can't do it. They get together and they go through a pantomime, but they don't have any blood. No blood is shed for them through the sacrifices, and yet they try to keep the law as well as they can. Because Jesus destroyed all that. It's all gone. Because they wouldn't accept him, they didn't follow him, they lose their lives. And a similar thing can happen in our church and in our lives as believers. We have coming to faith as individuals, where we have to give up our reign of our lives and to follow Jesus. But in a similar fashion as the Jews in Jesus' time, think about it. They were trying to hold on to the good, you know, the old time religion. And Jesus was bringing something new that they didn't like. We can try to maintain in our lives a status quo. If Jesus is changing stuff, we can refuse him and say, no, we're going to keep the status quo. But if you keep the status quo, if you try to save the status quo, what you destroy is the spem futuri, which is, I wanted to look up status quo's, you know, Latin for the current situation. I wanted to see what's the future hope. Stem futuri. We try to keep the status quo. We try to save it, and in so doing, we destroy our future hope. We do that when we don't follow Jesus. Jesus said, take up your cross, follow me. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. If believers get to the point where we're so comfortable, we're so cushiony, We are unwilling to deny ourselves, no, we need to have this, we need to have that. And then we get to the point where we're unwilling to take up a cross to follow Jesus. Let somebody else do that. I've done my time. I've served in the nursery for 20 years. What if Jesus is calling you to serve in the nursery for another 20 years? If you start saying no to Jesus, you're in a bad spot. I'm not saying if you're saying no to me. And I'm not confusing myself with Jesus. But if Jesus is calling you to do something, and Jesus is calling us to serve Him in some form or fashion, because we're all still here. Even when Peter was old, Jesus told him when he was meeting with him, He said, when you are old, you will be taken by somebody. Somebody else will dress you. Somebody else will lead you. And they will take you to a place you do not want to go. Paul, even when he was old, was in prison. He was still working. Most of the scriptures we have are because of that time in his life. We have a way of looking and thinking, oh, it's over. I had my time. We're not done yet if God's not done with us. But if we as believers get comfortable and stop denying ourselves and start giving in to ourselves, then we get to the place where we're unwilling to take up a cross. Because you can't take up a cross without denying yourself, unless you're a masochist. Unless you just like pain, you have to deny yourself. You have to deny your own desires to take up a cross. Nobody takes up a cross willingly without first putting aside their own desires. Jesus did that in the garden. He didn't want to go, but yet not my will, but yours be done. He had to give up his own desires. He had to deny himself the life he wanted the next day and go to the cross, because that's what God was calling him to do. And in the same way, if we will destroy our status quo, if we will destroy, and that has to be the language, because that's what he means when he says lose it. It's the same thing as what you'll lose if you try to save your life. We have to willingly give it up, destroy it, make it perish. If we will deny ourselves the status quo and follow him and take up our cross, we can find our future hope. We don't find our future hope in things or in people, though. We find our future hope in Christ. Notice he says, you will lose his life for my sake, will find it. Follow me. We lose it for his sake, not our own sake. It's not something we do for one another necessarily, but for Jesus. We do it for Jesus, and we do it in Jesus. We find that hope in Him. And this is what we're calling ourselves to. This is what I'm calling myself to. This is what I'm calling you to. And it's a hard thing. I know it is. We're changing things. We have been changing things. We might change some more things. The purpose is not just because we're trying to get more people or anything like that, or we're trying to be more like anybody else out there. In fact, one of the things is we're free from having to try to be like anybody else. We're trying to be like us, but we're also trying to be like us as much as possible in a way to reach other people, to reach people who we were no longer communicating to. It's funny, I'll be driving around or I'll be walking around and I'm singing hymns that I don't know all the words to, and they're not the hymns I'd want to sing in church, to be quite honest. But they're hymns that speak to my heart. And I remember a time when Amy and I were going to a church in Colorado that sang very few hymns, and we got to the point where we were feeling like we were dry. You know, we were thirsty for hymns in our lives. That's our heart tune. You know, that's what I sing to my kids. That's what I sing around the house. That's what I sing when I'm driving along. Unless I'm driving the bus, then a little bit of Elvis gets in there, you know. A whole lot of shaking going on. Because that bus, that shakes. I don't see how you can drive that bus or ride that bus without starting thinking, whole lot of shaking, whole lot of, you know, anyway. But other than that, I sing hymns. That's what I love. And my love for what I love can kill what God loves. Unless we take it and offer it on the altar to Him. We deny ourselves and we take up our cross. We offer our desires on the cross to Him. And we start saying, okay, this is what I love. I'll always have this love. I can always have this love any day of the week I want. But what am I going to do for You today, Lord? And what I'm going to do for the Lord today is try to fall in love with songs that younger children love or relate to. You know, I grew up singing songs that were great. I try to introduce them to my kids. My kids do not have a whole lot of outside influences on their lives, right? It doesn't hit them the same way. We're a different generation. It doesn't hit them the same way. I can't expect them to accept it the way I do. And so I've got two choices. Try to force them to like what I like and to love what I love, or just try to deny myself. Take up my cross of loving what they love and follow Jesus, because that's what He did. And so what we're calling ourselves to do here is nothing strange or new. It's what the church has always been called to do, to follow Jesus. If you would be My disciple, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Me. If you would save your life by yourself, you'll lose it. But if you will destroy and allow it to go away, your life, for My sake, you will find a life you never even knew possible. That's what we're seeking. To deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and follow Jesus. That's what I'm calling each and every one of you to do. And it's a hard thing, especially if you've gotten soft, especially if you've gotten comfortable. I used to be able to run all over the place. This Friday I was trying to play softball. I about killed myself. It's embarrassing how little I can run these days because I got soft. I got flabby, fat, and lazy, physically speaking. Spiritually, we might have gotten fabby, flat, and lazy as well. Let's take up our cross. Let's deny ourselves. Let's follow Jesus. Let's give up what we can and what we have to, that we could reach some people who don't know Jesus. That's what we're calling ourselves to. That's what I'm calling you to. That's what you should be calling me to. Let's follow Jesus. And let's be Jesus to our community. To the people on the circle and the drive, to the people in Azle, in Lakeside, in Lake Worth, in Saginaw, and all around Eagle Mountain. Let's deny ourselves and let's try to be Jesus to them so that they can find Jesus for themselves. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Your grace, Your mercy in our lives. I thank You so much, Lord, that You sent Jesus to the cross to die on our behalf, and that He willingly went. He denied Himself. He took it up. And in so doing, He saved us. We thank You, Father, for the call You've placed on our lives to follow Jesus. That if we deny ourselves, if we no longer try to rule and reign our own lives, but if we follow Jesus, we can be saved. We can find true life when we let go of these cheap imitations that we are trying to make. We pray, Lord, as a church. It's very easy to hold on to what we think we have, to not recognize that we're trying to save ourselves and it's not working. We pray, Lord, that we would trust in You, that we would follow You as a body, that we would deny ourselves, that we would take up a cross. And for each one of us, it might be different. It may be to take up the cross of a different role in our lives or in the church, in the life of the church. It may be to take up a role we thought we had left behind. It may be to go beyond what we think we can do. But Lord, we pray that we would listen to your guidance, to your Holy Spirit, that we would follow Jesus. And it's in his name, his reign, his rule and power in our lives that we pray. Amen.